Hi, everybody. This is Songwriters Guild Live with Rohal Fide as your host. We've got two things going on, happening. First, I am going to give you a podcast of Dan Tuffy. I did a podcast with him last week, and he's just got a new album out, and we're going to talk about the new album and about the way that the COVID-19 situation has totally messed up his release, basically. And then after that, I have a small portion of the Luke Nyman podcast that I did the week before. Okay, guys, have fun. Yeah, cool. Welcome, Dan.
Howdy.
Welcome to the show. This is Songwriters Guild Live. We've got Dan Tuffy on the show. He's just brought out an album in April, Letters
there
of Gold. And we're going to talk all about that and what COVID-19 did to his release schedule. Let's first just play a song.
We might as well. Yeah, sure.
What do you want to play for us?
I'm going to sing a song off this record.
Ah, songs from
songs
Dan.
Songs from Dan.
Yeah.
And I released this about 3 or 4 years ago now. It's called Stony Cold Heart.
All right.
I'm playing it on my old a Dutch-made guitar, it was built in the Netherlands in the 70s, and it's a copy of a Django Reinhardt gypsy guitar. It's not the one. And I've tuned it down 4-whole tones, down to B. It's one of those songs that just emerged from the instrument that you're playing. For all of the trouble we're having, I don't want to divorce. When I told you I was leaving, I regretted it the minute those words fell from my lips. Yeah. And I don't want to end up with a stony cold heart like some of them couples that we know. If love is the wisdom of the fool, well then I'm still a fool for you. I don't want the house. I don't want the furniture. All I want is to hear you say that I'm still. Still a fool for you. Yeah. I think I forgot a verse. That's all right. It's just the same old stuff coming back in the last verse.
Yeah. Yeah, it's heartbreak.
Heartbreak, yeah. Right? Three verses of heartbreak or 4 verses, who cares?
Who cares? Yeah. Well,
cool.
Hey, so Letters of Gold. Mm-hmm. It's a new album. I listened to it. I listened to it a couple of, like maybe a week ago or something. Yeah. And it's an awesome, awesome album.
Oh, you
it's
like
a
it. Nice one.
Yeah. It sounds so good.
Thanks.
And of course you have these wonderful mics, but it's more than that. It's mm-hmm. just the way you are blended with your music.
Cool.
And also the new sounds that you're using with right. the drum computers, it's mm-hmm. just yeah, very welcoming to me.
Nice one.
It's like, oh wow, you know.
Yeah.
It sort of makes the album more like something you can just digest wholly, instead of
okay.
after a while you start thinking, well, maybe I should play something else now.
Oh, but you mean it keeps your attention span?
Yeah,
happening.
It does.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
good one.
I
actually that's interesting, isn't it? Because you know, like we have our, I think we have a sort of a narrowing of our attention span in this
yeah.
day and age. And
that's true.
So that's a really big compliment to hear that it actually that you could hang on to it for more than 30 seconds on Twitter.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, cool. Nice one.
It's crazy.
That's a big compliment. I well, appreciate it. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
So you wrote it probably, I mean, when did you write it? That's the question. Did you write it like in years or
no,
was it?
You know what? I didn't really set out to write an album. A lot of the songs, let me see. One of the songs, for example, on this record is about 20 years old that I never got around
oh, yeah.
to recording.
Mm-hmm.
So like after I finished my last record in 2000, and I think I finished that in, what was that, 2016, 17, I just embarked on a kind of a pathway of like, just let's just keep recording. Like whenever something came up, let's just keep recording. And I did lots of sessions with lots of different people. And then and I also was in Australia quite a lot, and every time I went back there, I tried to do a session with Matt Walker, who I've made a lot of music with, who plays guitar all over this album and played guitar on my first solo album as well.
Okay.
And the mindset was like, I'm not making an album. That was the mindset. The mindset was I'm just recording stuff. And then the idea of making an album was secondary. And
yeah.
When I had quite a lot of material, and then I kind of like went through it and what if this of the last 3 years of this process actually works together and sounds like one thing? And that's kind of what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's those. So I've actually from the last 3 or 4 years of recording, I've maybe recorded 16, 17 songs, but these 8 kind of worked together.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not on purpose. You didn't do it on purpose that they worked together.
Of course, I wanted to make an album eventually. Right?
Yeah, in the end.
I wanted
yeah.
to, but the approach was not like, I am making an album now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like that.
Yeah. Okay.
And I got a lot of help from some old colleagues, or Matt, for example, but like really more importantly was the work that a guy I used to play in a band with called Michael Turner. From the band was called the Wild Pumpkins at Midnight. We were together in a band for 14 years, and I started sending files to him just because part of the process was like collaborating with different people, and so a lot of the electronics you hear on it are his input, and
okay.
what he kind of sent back to me resonated with me so much, and it was clearly that he and I were back in some kind of old flow together of. Collaboration,
great.
And it was
yeah.
felt really good, you know, and he just was sort of filling into where I was at with the songs, and you know, so he kind of like elevated himself to co-producer status of this record. So like that stuff
okay.
that you were talking about the electronics and how it fits in, and it's all true. It does fit in perfectly, and it's because of the collaboration that I got going with him again that happened.
That's great, man.
Yeah. Cool.
I didn't even know about this band, but
right.
Mark Werkman, he He mentioned it like that was his favorite band. And,
oh, yeah,
And he's from the Netherlands.
Yeah. Yeah, we did quite a lot of things in Holland in the 90s, you know.
We played
Holland and Germany and England, and we went over to the Eastern Europe, and we played Belgium, and I don't think we might have went down to France. I can't remember, but yeah. Yeah, we were doing quite a bit back then, that band, yeah.
Yeah, good.
So it was a kind of a reignition of an old collaboration that really worked out well on this record. It had its moments, you know, like collaborating with people's never always smooth sailing, but...
No.
Yeah.
But this sounds really nice. You want to do another song?
Yeah. How about let's see, I might just change guitars.
All right.
Now that we're talking about the album... Mm-hmm. And I'll do a song off the new record, and I'll just hang on. I've got to readjust myself. One of the cool things about the new record is that it's challenging me, because you know I don't have the musicians with me that I made the record with, and it's I'm going to go out and do some shows soon when this COVID thing's over, and one of the big challenges is how do I reproduce this live?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not that worried about getting it right, perfect. But but it's been fun because I've started working like this. Here we go.
All right, go ahead.
This one's called Honey Flow.
Okay.
Light a fire, help me remember that sweet song, oh honey, honey flow. That sweet, sweet song in the long, long ago, oh honey flow.
That's awesome. So you used that percussion thing also yesterday, and I was like,
"Yeah,
what? Look, did he put on some water, a water tap, or is he a sample of a water tap?"
You know, it's like, I mean, actually, I need a percussionist, really.
Right.
I mean, you know, you can't sort of keep that groove going on the guitar and then just stop it and pick those shells up and shake them. But
well, I thought, it worked.
Why not? You know.
No, it worked.
Yeah, I like, you know, I'm really, I like the percussive element of music. It really, that's what kind of, I don't know, I just like that a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And I like playing with people who've got a percussive groovy feel or something, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, so not specifically a percussionist, but he could be a bass player or
oh yeah,
or a guitarist, but the way he plays his instrument.
That's it.
Or her,
yeah, in the groove.
Yeah, yeah, I got you.
In the groove.
Yeah,
in
that's
the groove. And you know, I mean the TR-08, this Roland drum machine that I've got, it has its limitations, of course, like because it's machine-like and everything. And I don't overuse it. I try to use it like, you know, if I'm doing a live show, it'll be like two or three songs in the set, I'll use it. But one thing I really, really like about it is the hand claps.
All right.
I fucking love the hand claps on it. Okay. Like, you can't reproduce them in a studio. It's just such
can
a good
you, can
sound.
Can you show us a hand clap?
Let me possible. See. Look, the hand. Well, if I play that groove I just played, that one. That one.
Right. Yeah.
That is just classic TR. Well, it's the old 808 drum machine, the old hip-hop thing.
Yeah.
The clap I love, and the bass drum I really love too.
Yeah.
I've got some of my best friends are drummers, and they're really like, well, what, you know, what are you doing?
Right.
And it's like, yeah. look, don't take it personally. I mean, I love the way you play too, but
yeah, yeah.
There's something about that hand clap and that bass drum on this machine. Just doesn't come, you know, you can't reproduce it live.
No, and it surprised
instrument.
Me so much to hear it on your album.
Right.
It really, I really liked it. So
cool.
Yeah, yeah, because you are such a deep, I would say, you know, acoustic folky songwriter, and
right.
then to have some beats going on there as well,
yeah,
that just brings it out into a new plane, a new
You know, it's interesting you say, yeah. Like it's true. I do see myself as a songwriter, and that I'd sort of touch on, you know, what you just used the adjective deep, but like the music I listen to is just, I don't listen to anything that's anything like the songs I write. Like I'm gonna listen to funk and jazz and
oh yeah,
hip hop and
oh yeah, okay.
You know,
yeah.
So I mean, and I've been I've been wanting to pull some of that, but I don't play that stuff. Like when I play bass or something, like I could play bass in a soul band and feel really happy. You know,
mm-hmm. But you probably have the feeling. I mean, I recognize that you're saying, well, I mean, I like it so much, but if I would play it, it would just ruin it, sort of.
Well, I mean, I'm a storyteller,
right?
And I'm not a funky front man.
Yeah,
I'm not. But like, the funky part of me is more in my groove, in my feeling for groove. So like, if I was in a funk band or a up tempo, more rock outfit or whatever. My position and my role would be bass or percussion for sure, and not like prancing around at the front. I'd be in the engine room,
right? And, yeah.
And that, and you know, and I'm, I feel like by bringing the stuff, the elements, the electronics, and the beats and the percussion into my music, that I'm sort of doing myself a bit of justice. Like that, I'm not just going
yeah.
Fuck that, you know.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. So, I do want to touch the subject about your plans that went totally haywire.
Fine. I mean, I'm over it. You know.
Yeah, because the thing is, it's a story that probably that a lot of artists can relate to.
I don't think I'm the only one.
You know. So you got everything lined up. You got a great tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you told me. And
it had it all. It was all looking so good.
Yeah.
The record was really probably for the first time in my career, you know, like when you're planning a release and concerts and everything and you're finishing a record, it's not easy to get everything in the same channel and heading in the same direction, that the apex, that it's all coming together at the right time.
Yeah.
Everyone's trying to create that perfect situation. And which means, you know, having the record out in time, having the reviews, having bookers months before the record comes out interested, and that all actually working out for you, and that you not don't feel like you're pushing uphill.
Right.
And in this case, it was all working out. I had shows here. I had the shows that I wanted to have. I had here. I had shows in Australia. A great looking tour in Australia. I had people buzzing about my record. I had a record company even take it off me and go, "We want to do this. You don't have to do this on your own."
Right.
You know, I had the whole thing, and it's like I've been in the music business for a long time, and it was like, fuck, this is all lining up in the way I've tried to make it line up for 35 years, and it's all happening, and I'm not doing anything,
right.
Really. Well, I put a year's work into it, really, but everything, there was no struggle. It was all, oh, shit, wow, this is cool.
Yeah.
And then the record was scheduled to come out on the 24th of April, and it was already in the pipeline, and it was all happening, and the promo had gone out and everything. And when did Corona hit? Sort of March.
Yeah.
Just before that. And
half March,
And I just watched the tour, the list of shows, all the shows in Holland, just like they just dropped dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this sort of bunch of really great shows in Australia that was like a, well, if you imagine sort of a nice, beautiful big house, just started, the windows started falling off, then the door fell off and the front fence fell over, and then weeds grew in the garden, and then someone lit a fucking fire and burned it down.
That's good.
I was left with that. But yeah, like you know, I'm not the only one, so.
No.
You know.
No, that's true. Yeah. So, you just have to, rebuild. I mean, the album is still there, you know.
Well, that's it. That's kind of like what you would hope, that you kind of always hope, I think, if you make a record, if you commit so much time and energy and resources, you know, money, whatever, to making something, a piece of art, a piece of music, there's some part of that you want that to last somehow. As I have gotten older. No, but as I, you know, I just I realize that's really more important to me than the effect that the album will have on my career. What's more important to me is that I can, or you or anyone who likes this record, can in 10 years' time put the record on and go, geez, that still sounds good.
You know? Yeah.
That's. So I've still got that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark, he says he saw you once on there's probably a YouTube link.
All right.
That goes to a show.
I wonder where that is.
Yeah, Mark, just that YouTube link, we don't see that. So just tell us where did you see it?
There'd be a few old YouTube footage of us up there doing that thing. I had a lot more hair then.
Sorry?
I had a lot more hair.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
So probably won't recognize you, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to do another song for us?
Yeah, sure. Now I've got this little guitar. I'll do one of my like real simple two chord type songs. This one's on the record. It's called Sandy Track.
Let's first say that Mark saw you at the EM2 in Groningen in '95.
Oh, you were at that gig.
Yeah.
Wow. Because I know that's one of the. Yeah. Okay. So that gig was filmed, and we do have the old band has footage of that gig on there, and I kind of remember that being a kind of unattended show, like not many people.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
So he was lucky to be there.
Yes.
Yeah, he is from Groningen, so.
Yeah. All right.
All right, man. So tell us about what you're going to do now.
This song's called Sandy Track. Up where I grew up in northern New South Wales in Australia, there's a beautiful, well, there's a lot of dirt roads going through the bush, but there's one in particular that heads south of my village where I grew up, along the coast, through a sort of basically a wilderness, coastal wilderness area, which is becoming more and more popular as time charges on. But of course, the local council and people with land down there, not everyone, but a lot of people really want that road tarred because they want the visitation and they want the development that will happen and they want the economic benefits of that. But it's going to be the end of the natural beauty of that place if that happens. And actually, this song isn't really a protest song. It's really my feelings about that part of the world in a song. And the other thing I wanted to say about this song is the local Aboriginal people, the Dungudi people, who they have some sacred sites down there and they're very connected to the country there, and their voices have been largely overlooked in the discussion about whether to seal this road or not. And anyway, the song's called Sandy Track. Sandy track, sun is shining through a crack, yeah, burning holes on my back, down along that track, that sandy track, diamond python in the rafters, cabin filling with blue smoke, see them shadows growing longer, see them growing on the road, down along that track, that sandy track. Takes me wherever I might go. I always have you with me. And sister, don't you know, down along that track, that sandy track, Eli's Angel and Jack, brother Kyle and Zach, sun still burning holes in my back. Down along that track, down along that track, that sandy track.
Great song, man. That was on the album as well. I really loved that one.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny. It's barely a song. But it is. It's two chords and some words, but it's still a song.
Yeah. Sure, is a song. It's also the way you play it. Mm. You know, you start playing with your thumb and the fingers, and it's almost like there's two instruments. You know, there's like this.
It's a
sound. Yeah.
It's a groove.
Yeah, it's a real groove.
I had the groove for years, and I was like, what is that? You know, and then you can put a lot of pressure on yourself thinking, I've got to turn that into a song. And I thought, well, the groove is the song.
Mm-hmm.
Just make it the groove and then sing along with the groove and then add a few things. And, that's enough.
Yeah.
The simplicity of that.
Yeah, it has to do with timing as well. If you can... You're a good timer with your vocals, so the groove is important.
Yeah.
But then if you don't time with the groove, then there's nothing there.
Yeah.
So it just all works out. Nice. So let me show you something that somebody says. I have to tell. That's a record company. It's called CRS, Continental Record Services.
Yeah. Well, they have actually something. Released this. They've released this record.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And they also were involved in the release of my last record. So, yep, I've worked with them for a long time. When I run, we're looking over that thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also run my own label, and I've released other records where they've distributed my stuff. But these last two records of mine, they've actually licensed them off me.
Okay. Yeah. And so you're going to be on July the 5th, you're going to be at Blue Room Sessions. Is that that's like right. An online concert?
No, that's a real live one. So
a real one, yeah.
Yeah, that's like one of these, you know, things are opening up slightly.
Yeah, and, that's true.
Like, for example, this Saturday I'm playing in Enschede at a place called Tank Station.
Tank Station, yeah.
Right, and it's one of those, 1.5-meter concerts and maximum 30 people. And on July the 5th, the Blue Room Sessions in Den Bosch, that's the same sort of thing. And I think I'm playing twice or three times.
Yeah, twice, I believe.
And down there I'm playing with, I have some musicians with me. I've got Madalif and Vlyman on the bass, who also played bass on this record.
Okay.
And I've got a fellow from Utrecht called Stefan Wolfs. Great guitar player, pedal steel player. Plays with Judy Blank.
Oh yeah, Judy Blank. Yeah, yeah. Right. Country, a rising country star.
That's yeah.
Yeah.
And he's also played with a few other people. I think, and he also he shares a studio with that band from Utrecht called the Rock Band, the Wolf.
The Wolf.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Great musicians, both of them, and they really—they've got the groove.
Yeah, that's okay.
They've got the groove, man, and that's why I play with them.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
All right, man. So those are your plans. You're starting to play again. So probably a couple of those tour dates are still there. I mean, tentatively.
These ones were fell away and then were rebooked. And then I've also got a couple of rebookings in October.
Yeah,
in October, and I'm hoping a few more start coming in after the summer. But I'm playing in Amsterdam in October at the Rodebioscope.
Nice place.
Great place.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm also playing at Burger Waste House in Deventer in October.
In the big hall?
No, I don't think so.
In the cafe. Probably in the cafe.
More in the front.
I like that actually a bit more.
Yeah.
I have to say.
Yeah.
Played there once with Davey Lawson. That's great.
It's cool, yeah.
I love that place.
Yeah, and speaking of Davey Lawson.
Right.
I've just had contact with him because he released three records on my label in the...
Yeah.
In the way back when, 10 years ago. But he's just sent me some new recordings.
Okay.
Yeah, really cool.
Yeah.
He wants me to mix them. He sent me the loose tracks.
So he's been recording himself?
Well, this is stuff he recorded in Glasgow in 2013 or 14, and then he had kids and dropped it. Didn't know if he really liked the recordings, and he's sort of rediscovered them and has sent them to me, and I love them. I think they sound fantastic. No. So I might
new
mix
songs.
Them. I might mix them for him and help him get them out.
And they're new songs.
Well, new as in,
I mean,
we've never heard them.
Unreleased, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know. If it's too much work for me to mix it, I might say, Davey, go and get it mixed somewhere else, pal, but bring them back.
Yeah. Ah. You want to do another song?
I think it's probably a good idea, right?
Yeah.
Get this old guitar out.
We've been talking so much, I think this is the third song, right?
Is it really? No, it's the fourth.
Really?
Isn't it?
Can people, Mark, how many did he play?
No, I've played three.
You played three?
Yeah.
So that's good because that fits with the time.
Perfect.
That we've been streaming. So so this is going to be your last song.
Yeah, look, I was going to play something on this, but actually I'm going to do an experiment. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play one off my new record.
Yeah.
With a drum machine beat, which is on the record. The drum machine beat's not on the record, but I've just been mucking around with my 808 this morning.
Ah, so
I found a beat that might work. And
on the
record, it's the groove is very solid on the record. It's the song called "Can't Contain My Feeling," and the groove is with bass and guitar and a bit of kick drum.
Yeah, yeah.
And to really play it and have a groove going, I really need at least a bass player with me, which I do have, and it really rocks when we play together, Madalief and I, or Judith and I, or whoever is playing. But sometimes I'm thinking I'm going to probably end up going out and doing some solo shows because there's just no money in these lowly populated gigs. Story of my life.
And even now, it's even worse now. Eh?
Right. Yeah. But I'm used to the lowly populated gigs, so that's cool.
Yeah.
But, so I've just been mucking around this morning with this song on this groove setting.
All right.
And it's a what do you call that? It's a premiere.
Okay. That's great.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Ro. Is this where we say goodbye and sayonara and all of that? Or do you come after the song?
After the song, yeah, for sure.
All right.
Yeah, man.
So I'm a little bit agitado about doing the song like this because I've never done it like this before, but let's try. The song's called... Oh, yeah, it's called "Can't Contain My Feeling." Same old load of rocks and stones up the wrong side of the hill. I tell myself I'm easier on my own.
Step. Lose your yourself. Take that step with me. Lose yourself. It ain't safe, but it's what we need. Can't contain my feeling, I can't contain it, I can't contain my feeling. Ooh, yeah. Well, I don't know about that.
Woo! Woo! Nice. So yeah, this is what Mark says. 808 rocks, man. So yeah, he likes it.
Yeah, I was a little bit, what is this? Because I can kind of do it like... I can do it without the drum machine, like, actually.
But you do it a bit faster then. Is that what you're saying?
So. I think I've got the tempo wrong on the old TR-08.
I don't know, because I think on the album it is the version that you just did.
A bit slower.
Yeah, I really like that, actually.
Cool.
Yeah. It's the first song on the album, isn't it?
It's the first song on the album. It is.
That first song. I started the album and I was like, what the hell is this? You know? Mm. Yeah. That song really drew me in completely.
Yeah. It's a two chord thing. It's one of those two chord things.
Yeah. But so emotional.
Yeah, right.
The way you sing it. Yeah. That's really worked for me.
Well, that's right. Like, even one chord works if the emotional content is...
that's true.
If you're singing from that place. I think that's the place that resonates with listeners. Anyone. Any voice.
Yeah.
It's not about good voice, bad voice, but any voice that's sort of connected to that place is going to resonate.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
You do it.
Well, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, so thanks a lot again, Dan, for being on this show. Mm. I want to wish you all the best with the tour.
Great.
And if there's
it's
anything,
not a tour yet.
No, not yet. But yeah, if there's anything, if there's anything we can do together, help each other out with something, you know, just let me know.
All right, mate.
And I want to thank everybody watching. It's been really important to help out artists right now. So go to his show in Den Bosch or in Enschede or in Amsterdam and support the artists. Yeah.
On your own. Great little initiative, this stuff that you're doing with the Songwriters Guild and your little open mic sessions on Tuesday nights. Really
thank
cool.
you. Yeah. Hope to see you again one time.
Sure, mate.
All right, bye-bye, everybody.
Ciao.
All right, that was Dan Tuffy. And now we're moving to the podcast I recorded the week before that on the 4th of June of Luke Nyman. It was also his birthday. So here we go, birthday boy.
So let's start with a song, nice. Okay? Because
right
I noticed out. People like to start with, like the podcast to start with music.
That's good. Da-da-da. And is that a good mix between me and my voice and the
it's
piano?
Brilliant. Anita says, congrats.
Merci. Nice. Thanks, Anita.
What song you want to start with?
I'll start with the Sing. First song from the EP.
Yeah. Sing!
Let's do it.
All right, let's
sing.
Do it, man.
You can sing along. You can sing with me if you want to.
All right,
couldn't sleep. Last night with the next day buzzing in my ears, trouble funked my brain,
mother of all intentions, the father you never knew, in your little room, locked up all these years, everything you ever thought impossible is possible.
How about that, Mr. Rowe?
Great stuff. Great stuff.
Thanks.
I'm loving it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you want another one? Want to do another song then?
I'll do another song, yeah. I'm going to do one that's not on these. This is a typical,
doesn't matter,
typical singer-songwriter.
Like you just said, you have 400 songs.
Exactly. It's like, and here's one that I haven't released yet. And it goes like this. It's called Sober. It's coming on the next album that I have planned.
You mean the summer album, summer EP?
No, I'm talking about the next album after summer, spring, summer, autumn, and the winter album.
Even after that, you already have got something planned.
Oh goddamn! Yeah.
My God,
you guys, you got to keep listening. Yeah, it's called.
You're way ahead of the curve, right?
Yeah, there's too much coming out of this and not enough coming out on the internet. So that's why I'm going for the internet thing. That album is going to be called "You Will Survive," and off the album is this song called "Sober."
All right.
And I'll play it on a piano. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Go ahead.
Okay. Shake a plastic hand, paint a perfect smile, talk a bit too loud, just going through the motions. Drink a little wine, have a little love, sign an autograph, just going through the motions. I dreamt last night, I dreamt last night,
Great, man.
Thank you.
Get an applause going for you. Hey, hey.
Applause.
Well, let's listen to one of my favorite tracks of you.
Yeah.
Home's a Feeling. That's the name of it. Yeah, I remember it again.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Here we go. I haven't played it for a while to see if I can do it. Your house may burn down, your furniture is gone, your prized possessions may leave you forlorn. When you can erase every last trace, you'll find home's a feeling, not a place. Not a place. Home's a feeling, not a place. Whatever you do, don't feel lonely, 'cause home's a feeling, not a place. Not a place. Not a place. And the grieving process that you're going through, it's not a bad thing, but a natural thing to do. When you can erase every last trace, you'll find home's a feeling, not a place. Home's a feeling, not a place. Home's a feeling, place, home's a feeling, and not a 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 place, yeah, and not a place, oh yeah, and not a place.
Okay, that's it for today. I hope you guys had fun, and we're gonna have some more music next week. Stay safe, everybody.